You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
What up, fools? Welcome back to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. It's our 2022 NBA Finals Gambling Preview. I'm a co-host here, Jeff Clark, sports betting analyst at sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. And of course, I got my handicapping homie and betting brosov, Nathan Beagle, a.k.a. Nate Dogg, here on Zoom with me. Nate, what's going on, brother?
What's up? I love how we're getting into it. Betting brosov, betting broski, betting... Hey, we got it down.
Yeah, I got come up with a couple other, like... alliteration or I don't know, just like cool little betting AKAs to throw your way. I'm getting there though, slowly but surely. I had a handicapping homie up there since the jump, just added betting brosive. If you have anything else, let me know. Something with a P, since pal. Parlaying pal, you don't do a lot of parlays.
I mean, you know, that's how they make money. So yeah, I don't parlay up often. I just, it's not really my thing.
Yeah, me neither. I got into a heated argument with the homie of mine who also gambles daily like I do. And this guy only plays parlays. He plays like adjusted line parlays. He'll mix in game props or player props. And he's actually profited for the past like few months. So he thinks that like he's like breaking the mold or... I don't know, uncovering like new sports betting frontier. And it's just like, dude, I'm not smart enough to explain to you why what you're doing is absolutely moronic, but I know it is. I know in my heart that what you're doing is fucking stupid. And I can't, but I don't have the math ability to break it down. I know a few podcasts that I can kind of point him in the direction of that. Like, they can do it. They can explain it for you. And he's a lot better mathematically than I am. Like, he's got a better math mind than I am. So as soon as he hears the explanation, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But I'm not able to do it. So I just have like, I don't know. I don't have enough ammo for these arguments that I'm getting into. But
yeah, you're just like, parlays are dumb. It's been proven. Shut up.
Yeah, it's like I'm like confused that I'm arguing with someone who gambles this much about something that's been proven for years now. I don't know. So it like... catches me off guard, but we're gonna figure out another AKA for you with P, with gambling in it. We've spent far too much on this topic, but the meat of this podcast is gonna be discussing the NBA Finals. We're also gonna talk about the Finals MVP, or give our Finals picks, our Finals MVP picks, and we're gonna break down Game One of the NBA Finals real quick. But let's talk about the playoffs, more specifically. The conference finals. Boston advanced to its first finals since 2010, the first finals of this Tatum and Brown era. And it's the first year of the Ime Udoka era in Boston after he replaced Brad Stevens this offseason. Boston does have some experience, though, albeit not playoff or finals experience, but they have made the Eastern Conference Finals for the past 6 years, and they finally got over the hump by beating the Miami Heat in Game 7, which was played in Miami. Did you have any action in that series as a whole, or how did you do betting game by game?
So I think for me personally, the Dallas series was better off. I love the NBA. It's probably my favorite sport, but the playoffs have just been awful. I think I bet on the Heat a lot, which didn't return, but I know my biggest bet I bet was Heat. I believe they were, I think it was like +7.5 in game six on the road in Boston. I was just like, there's no way. Jimmy Butler's too gritty to go out in another blowout loss. So that was my big winner was the game six Heat. I mean, I bet them because I'm just, it's a lifestyle sometimes, but I didn't place a lot of big wagers in the conference finals, to be honest. Once you saw every game, every Dallas Warriors game, like the first five were all blowouts. Then they got like one close one. So I will say, I think I had Dallas plus 7.5 and a Trey Burke garbage time three made it down to 10. And I was so hopeful that they were about to get a second garbage time three to cut it to 7 just so it could hit. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't felt very entertained. And I think the NBA probably feels the heat on that too, because they've been horrible playoffs.
Yeah, I think like 20 straight games are decided by an average of 20 points per game. And there was like some crazy stat where there's only 7 clutch minutes and like 19 playoff games played over a recent sample size. I mean, Boston, Miami won 7 games, but it was one of the worst 7-game series you'll ever see. I mean, every game felt like was super lopsided. At least all the Boston wins sans their game 7 win, but even that game mostly sucked throughout, right? I mean, Boston was up double digits. Looked like Miami was just struggling to keep their head above water. They almost covered. They lost against the closing number by a half point.
Jimmy Butler hits that three, it's over.
Yeah, and that's actually the most interesting, like, one of the more interesting, like, takeaways from that game. And I guess that series is just, like, Jimmy Butler stepping up in, like, crunch time and, like, kind of, I don't know, like, making... adding to his legacy, or even more or less making a legacy for himself as like an all-time great playoff player. But I don't know, it feels like people are making excuses for that final shot, and I don't like hold anything against him as someone who backed the Heat often in that series. Like, hell, Jimmy Butler was a big reason why I made any money in that series and didn't just get completely crippled. But same point, like, it was objectively a bad shot. Like, I don't know. It's like there's some really smart basketball minds that are excusing that bad shot based on, like, narrative-based reasons where it's just like, well, he played 48 minutes. Like, well, that's fine, but it doesn't, like, in a vacuum, he had a lot of floor space with Al Horford defending him one-on-one. He should have went to the basket. That's how my brain... processes that final play. But either way, I mean
those pull-up threes are not easy shots. Like, that's not an easy shot. All your momentum shifting towards the hoop, and then he just tries to jump and hit it, and he's not a good three-point shooter. I mean, I agree, but in his mind, I mean, it's at least open. It's almost better than just a block.
It was a quality look, but I just feel like if he drives the basket, he's been so good at finishing around the basket that he might just score two. We've seen him get a couple and ones, a bunch of and ones in the series. And if anything, like, if you're aggressive, you make the referees possibly make a bad decision and blow the whistle or give you a foul. So yeah. I don't know. It's just, I just think that's like an interesting takeaway takeaway from NBA and basketball minds I actually really respect, just saying like, well, no, it wasn't that bad of a shot. It's like, well, it was objectively a terrible shot. Like, that guy shot 25% from three for the regular season and was cooking Boston when he was going to the basket. Like, just go to the basket.
No, I agree. So, no fight here.
but yeah, that series sucked. Tatum was inconsistent. Overall, I think he had a pretty good series, but like the turnovers were a big issue for Boston that I guess I kind of assumed they would have some turnover issues just because Miami's really good at forcing turnovers, but I was a little surprised how clumsy they were with the ball. Golden State, on the other hand, beat the brakes off of Dallas. Gentlemen sweep, beat them 4-1. This is their 6th finals in their last 8 years. And they absolutely humbled Luka Doncic. I actually was leaning towards Dallas in the series coming into the Western Conference Finals. And I took some shots at with the Mavericks in the game-by-game, but obviously ended up a loser because my Western Conference preview was just way off. And essentially, the lesson that I learned is you can never go small ball against the Golden State Warriors and expect to win. That's effectively how Dallas beat Phoenix and Utah, and they kind of relied on that against Golden State, and Golden State just beat the shit out of them when they went small. It was actually...
all I'm saying is NBA playoff podcast preview. I told you guys, Warriors Western Conference was like plus 350, and then Warriors to win the entire thing was plus 800. I was like, Stub Nation, they're coming back, baby.
Do you still do you
I bet that.
Bet a couple of those?
I only put like 10 bucks on it, but
Still. I mean, you play some action on it. That's cool, dude.
Yeah, I was a dude. I just the Warrior, the experience, and then they have an answer for everything you're gonna do. It's insane, and that's why. I mean, we'll get more into it with the actual finals. But I'm all Warriors. You've been all opposite Warriors, and
it's cost me money.
Yeah, I remember you hating on them versus the Nuggets, and it was like, I think the Nuggets would have. Teams like the Nuggets get a bad rap because if they're at full strength, I mean, Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. are huge in that series because they're floor spacing. I mean, the Nuggets just couldn't shoot. And then, I mean, the aside from the Nuggets, the Warriors have earned it. I mean, the Grizz were gritty, and they – I mean, I don't really think John Morant mattered to that series, but the Grizz were gritty. That was a difficult series for them because of how Jaren Jackson spaced the floor. But then – I mean, they just beat the brakes off the Mavericks. But it was also the Mavericks were missing shots. And, I mean, Reggie Bullock was, what, 0 for 10, one game, 0 for 7 from 3. Like, you can't do that. Like, you're a role player. Your job is to hit threes. If you hit three, it's a completely different game.
Yeah, for sure. I like the Warriors to win the NBA Finals when they're running through teams earlier in the season. Then I just got, like, lost when down the stretch when they dealt with injuries to Steph Curry, one of which – or which he sustained playing against Boston, actually. If you remember, Marcus Smart rolled up on him, I think, in the second quarter for a loose when they were going for a loose ball, ended up spraining Steph's ankle, and he missed a good part of the last month of the season. Klay Thompson didn't really get back to form really in the regular season. He was very inconsistent, and just the Warriors looked like shit down the stretch, and it threw me off. Like, if I just stuck to like my original analysis, which was like the Warriors get so much better looks than everyone else they play. Like, that's the thing. Like, they're getting layups. They're getting layups. It's not just the threes. It's they're getting layups as well, and they'll do like these crazy actions. Where they're faking screens with slipping on screens of Draymond, even Kevon Looney's getting into it. He's playing well. Like, I was just wrong. Like, I didn't mind. I didn't feel so bad about it against the Nuggets because it's like, you know, they looked like shit down the end of the regular season. They obviously had the Nuggets had a size matchup or an edge on them in the front court with Jokic, but they just. You know, the backcourt matchup was just too much to overcome. The Grizzlies, I wasn't really into that series at all. It was phenomenal to watch. And then the Mavericks, Luka has just played so well against the Warriors in the regular season, but it doesn't matter. It was the regular season. So Luka got humbled. I got humbled in that series. And Golden State just really, they played beautiful basketball. Like, I'm not even mad that I lost money in those games. Like, every time Dallas went small, Golden State just got points in the paint. It was beautiful to watch. It really was. Because that's exactly how you should be playing, right? They go small, great. You hit them on the inside. They go big, you try to shoot over them. Like, it's not that complicated.
Draymond hitting a few triples was honestly a very welcome sight for Golden State. I mean, he had a couple threes, and it's like if he's making threes, if he can outshoot Marcus Smart in this series, Warriors win in five.
Oh, they'll win in three if Draymond Green's out shooting Marcus Smart.
Steve Kerr's always played percentages, and that's exactly what I would assume he does again. And one of the percentages that I've seen a lot of and that is true is they're going to let Marcus Smart shoot. Marcus Smart was we can get into this if we're going.
No.
Going, but
well, no, let's Marcus officially turn the page in this podcast and start looking at the NBA Finals. So I timestamped it. Go ahead. Give your first take or get the ball rolling here on this combo.
Yeah, so I'm going to fade Marcus Smart a bit. Maybe not his points, but the Warriors are, I think, because I cover the Warriors for a fan-sided site. Deep down, I think Marcus Smart's going to be the person they say, hey, you shoot. You kill us shooting threes, we're going to let you do it. It's not going to be Al Horford. It's not going to be Grant Williams. It's going to be Marcus Smart. He was 6 for 26 over the last five games against the Heat. If you don't think Kerr doesn't see that, and they were open. I mean, did you watch you probably watched the last 3 minutes of game seven? You know, yeah. Marcus Smart hit, he bricked four straight threes. That's why they got back in the game. They would double, leave Marcus Smart open, Bam would drop to the paint, and then he would just brick a three. Yeah. It's like three straight Marcus Smart threes with like 2 minutes left could have sealed the game, but he just bricked every one. And I think Kerr's going to do the same thing, and I would bet against Marcus Smart. I mean, he shot 33% from deep this season, 33. I mean, he's a career 32% three-point shooter. I'm not. I just think you have to play better than that against the Warriors, and that's kind of how I expect them to play. Especially my take for the Celtics is kind of – if I had one thing that I was surprised on, it's not – I wasn't necessarily impressed by them. I was lower on the Heat than you. I wasn't impressed by them beating the Heat or the Bucks. I think I was more impressed by the sweep over Brooklyn. And it's because the Bucks are winning the NBA Finals with a healthy Chris Middleton. I think they're definitely
getting back past Boston. Yeah.
I think they beat the Celtics in five or six. Middleton is like the impact that Middleton has compared to people saying like the Grizzlies would win without Ja Morant or with Ja Morant those two games or three games. Like, you can't compare those teams. Like, look at how the Grizzlies played without Morant, and then look at how the Bucks played without Middleton. You just – Giannis isn't meant to be that – he needs that sidekick is what I'm saying. So –
And Jrue Holiday didn't do a good enough job stepping up in the absence of Middleton. Maybe that's not his skill set, but he just didn't – he couldn't – I disagree with you in your point with Grizzlies and Ja Morant, but that's for another day. But I totally agree with you with Middleton and Bucks.
Yeah, and I think with the Nets, it was like they were always kind of a broken, incomplete team. Maybe if Joe Harris plays some in that, like the whole freaking season, they get better. But they were always going to be a two-man show. And when you have a defense like Boston, you eat that up. But in my opinion, you can't do that with Golden State because they can play five out, especially if Otto Porter's healthy. They have a top five defense, which Brooklyn didn't. So there's a lot of things that they'll be facing kind of the first time. I think this is the first like true complete two-way team that Boston will face, and I think that's going to give them some issues.
Absolutely. I don't know how you can look at or watch both conference finals and want to put money on Boston. I mean, I liked Miami. I like their coaching. I like their continuity. I like their toughness. But based on like talent and health, that should not have won seven games. Should not
have. You're going to have to go from like Tyler Hero being on, even if Tyler Hero played, you're going to go from having to guard Jimmy Butler. You have to have a completely different strategy. You don't have to necessarily double Jimmy Butler. He was making a lot, but like, it's just a different ballgame with Curry, Thompson, Wiggins, Poole on the court. It just is.
Yeah. Like they have the bodies to throw at Jimmy Butler and they really couldn't even stop him. They don't have like the perimeter foot speed, I think, to stay in front of the Warriors. That's my issue, or like even close out and contest three-pointers, especially if the Warriors are moving the ball, having a lot of motion in their offense and playing as well as they could. That's kind of my initial reaction, and just like the Warriors get a lot better shots than the Boston Celtics. They have the second highest layup volume or percentage of field goal attempts that are layups in the playoffs. Golden State does, and Boston has the second highest three-point attempt rate. I feel like they settle for three-pointers far too much, and like it's a make or miss league, right? You can just go right to the three-pointers and the box score and see who wins. But like, to me, their offense is very inconsistent, partially because of their lack of a floor general and partially because of their shot selection. And I think if the Warriors are making shots and this game turns into an open court basketball game or up and down, like that's when you see the Warriors' defense click in. And I think Marcus Smart will try to like play outside of his means. I think if Boston is sped up, the Warriors are going to actually turn them over more. I think if it's more of a half-court game, then I give the ball security edge to the Boston Celtics. But we kind of got ahead of our skis here. Real quick, the Golden State Warriors are -160 to win this series, and Boston's +125, according to our sponsor, Tipico Sportsbook. Now, the series price is... or the series handicap is Warriors to win by 1.5 or -1.5 games is +155. Boston plus 1.5 games is minus 190. If I were to take any which line, it would definitely be the Warriors minus 160. I actually make it like Warriors minus 160, Warriors minus 170 before like I think there's value in Boston. So Tipico's number is sharp here. What do you have this line at? Like if you were making it yourself, or what price would you bet the Warriors?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to give out something more than, I mean, we even say it on our website, like if it's more than like minus 200, like you're giving out 2 units of risk for a unit of reward. It's tough to suggest, but.
Well, I mean, that's for like regular season games, like the series yeah. price, like in boxing, like if you want, you know, if you want to bet boxing, sometimes you're getting down on minus 400 favorites. That's kind of part of it. So like, this is a heavyweight fight, right? It's the finals. So I don't think minus 160 is bad at all. If you're willing, I think that's a fair price though.
No, I agree. I would take minus 160 all day. I don't think maybe we're just underrating Boston, but from what I've seen throughout the playoffs, I don't think minus 125 is high enough. I wouldn't play them until I get minus one or plus 150. Like I might play Golden State up to minus 190, honestly, so I like the 160.
Okay, cool. And I don't hate that logic either. I will say Boston is first in net rating in these playoffs. Golden State second. I do think like we can knock Milwaukee not having Middleton and Miami not having Hero and being banged up. That being said, I do think Boston's road to the finals was more challenging than the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors had a cakewalk against that Denver backcourt in the first round. I think the absence of Ja Morant actually flipped that series into making it like the Warriors a lock to like an actual coin flip. Like I really think the Morant and the Grizzlies could have beaten them in a 7-game series had he stayed healthy. That's where we differ. And they Dallas was no match for them. You know, I like Dallas going into it, but their lack of experience, like you got to get your comeuppance, or you have to, I don't know, grind in the playoffs, be humbled a few times before you usually get over that speed bump. So I do think Boston's trip to the finals was a little bit harder. So to your earlier point, we might be overrating or underrating Boston. And I've done it consistently in these playoffs. So it's something that like, I'm frankly concerned about doing. I don't want to do it again in the finals, right? So like I am kind of hesitant, but I am also like, I also feel like you, where it's just like I'm very like Warriors are gonna cash this ticket.
I haven't seen anything to suggest otherwise,
right?
They beat the Heat, but like the Heat just don't have their superstars gonna get you on the inside. It's just a completely different style of play.
Like I think the Heat, I mean, I think the Heat, if they had Hero, could win that series. And they could have won them without him. I mean, I think that series going seven is kind of what makes me think, as part of the reason why I think the Warriors are going to cruise in this one. But the Celtics have the best record. I think the only team with a winning record versus the Warriors in the Steve Kerr era, they're 12-3-1 against the spread versus the Warriors. So we're looking at game one. It's plus 3.5. Most of the money is coming in on the Warriors. Most of the actions on the Warriors, and that line stuck. In game one, I'm on the Warriors, and I just feel like a sucker. I do.
That's the same logic we used every game like for Dallas. We're like, all right, 90% of the money is on Golden State. So
I'll take it a step further. I'm getting crushed these playoffs, and I've used reverse line movement, line freeze, this, that, and the other all the time, and it doesn't matter. I probably shouldn't even look at it anymore, really.
Because I thought that I kept looking at, I kept betting the Mavericks. The Western Conference Finals was not where I killed it. I killed it on my future, but the Western Conference Finals, I was like, Mavs plus 8, Mavs plus 9, and then it was like, nope, Warriors win by 15. It was just, I mean, and every time the Warriors, you think, I think they've shown so much, and they're probably thinking the same way we are, that they've shown so much that it's just 90% of the money is always going to be on them. Even if they lose 90% of them, and it's not going to matter. So you just have to live with that logic. It's crazy to me that the books haven't moved the line further.
Yeah.
Because why would you not want it to be at least 60-40?
The response to that is from them, or at least the theory of their response would be like they're comfortable taking more Warriors money at this price point. I don't know. The other point is like whatever the betting split is, I don't know it off the top of my head. I don't have that in front of me, but let's say 75% of the money is on the Warriors. 75% of the money on Tuesday is on the Warriors, right? But like 90% of the actual action comes in an hour before the game. So like whatever, you know what I mean? Like we don't really know what the market's feeling at this point. Whereas, I feel like there is a bit of difference when you're betting football. And I don't know. Like, I do think that those market analysis are more important just because there's a lot more money out there in football than there is in basketball. But, I am nervous because Boston actually has a better ATS record than the Warriors in this in these playoffs. They are 12-6 against the number. The Warriors are 9-7. And, you know, Boston has gotten a little lucky, but you can't, you know, they did beat Kevin Durant and Giannis in consecutive series and a Miami team that's really well coached. So I don't really want to shit on them too bad, but I'm liking the Warriors in game one. I'm liking them to win this series as well. What are like some of the, do you think there's going to be a breakout star? This kind of could lead into our NBA Finals MVP discussion, but you were talking and you mentioned a little bit about Wiggins before. What else do you have on Wiggins?
I just think the 2015 Curry was a young Curry. He was probably 34 now, so he's probably 27. So he should have been in his prime to win Finals MVP in 2015. He didn't, and Andre Iguodala did. All Andre Iguodala did was play great defense on LeBron. He didn't even post numbers like Wiggins could post. So against Dallas, during the regular season, Wiggins posted 17.2 points per game. Great. That's pretty good. It's all right. Against Dallas, he upped that to 18.6 points per game. And this is where one of my bigger points comes in is every time the Warriors won all four games, they at least had 10 or more rebounds. And at least four or three of the four wins. So what's that tell me? That tells me that
they led the rebounds by 10.
Yeah. So
gotcha.
They had double.
Okay. Gotcha.
So what that tells me is rebounding is important. In that series, Andrew Wiggins averaged 7.2 boards per game. He shot 46% from the field. Now those were both, I would say, better than people expected. 18.6 and 7.2 from Wiggins was not what they were expecting to get a couple years after they traded for him in Minnesota. And I just think Curry isn't terrific in the playoffs. He's going to have either Derek White or Marcus Smart on him, probably 24/7. If he switches, it's going to be Al Horford. So I think Andrew Wiggins at plus 3,000 win Finals MVP has some value. I'm not saying go put $100 on it, but I mean, shoot, a dollar on that gives you 30. So I think there's at least some value there. And it's kind of like I said, looking back, if Jason Tatum has two games where he shoots 3 for 16, and it's because of Wiggins, he's going to get bonus points on the defensive end where Curry won't.
Gotcha. Yeah. The favorite to win the MVP, Finals MVP, is Steph Curry at plus 105, then Jason Tatum at plus 175, then Jaylen Brown plus 1,000, Klay Thompson plus 1,500, Draymond plus 1,500. Then that's where we get to Marcus Smart and Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole all listed at plus 3,000. I don't think that Curry number is very good, especially given his, I guess, less than Curry-esque performances in the finals. I thought he got hosed in that MVP with when Andre Iguodala won it. I think he averaged 25 points per game. And
Iguodala was probably at like 12.
Yeah, Iguodala, I think he averaged like 12 or something. Yeah, like 11 or 12, but he prevented
LeBron from
averaging like 50, and they're like, "Oh yeah, let's give the Finals MVP to Andre Iguodala." But that's, you know, whatever, water under the bridge. I mean, to me, if you're looking at the Warriors minus 160 to win the series, I know people are saying, "Well, why don't you just take Steph Curry plus 105?" I don't think that's like a good enough drop off. Like, to me, like, Curry needs to be a +140 for me to like see any value in taking Curry instead of the Warrior series price.
Now, you don't hate the switch though, right? You don't hate if you really want to back Boston to maybe do the Tatum. I think that's a solid play. If you want to back Boston, Tatum at +175, I think it isn't bad.
Yeah, I hear you. My thought on that is that, I was looking to fade Jaylen Brown in these playoffs. I just like going into looking at Jaylen Brown's stuff, I assumed I was going to be fading him. He's actually been more efficient in these playoffs than he was in the regular season. He's shooting better from the field. Shooting 49% from the field compared to 47% in the regular season. And the regular season shot 36% from three. He's shooting 39% from three in these playoffs. So like, he's actually balling out pretty well. And if Andrew Wiggins and or Draymond Green, for whatever reason, if they focus on Jason Tatum and that frees up looks for Jaylen Brown, I think Jaylen Brown could actually win the MVP as well, because I don't think there's much of a difference between him and Tatum. I do agree that Tatum is the better player, but he's priced at 175. Jaylen Brown's priced at +1,000. Jaylen Brown's averaging 24 points per game in these playoffs. Like, that's not a bad number, right? If Tatum averages if Tatum averages 22 in the finals and the Boston wins, like, you can't really shit on him for that finals performance. But Jaylen Brown could average 25, and if Boston wins, I don't know. Like, I guess what I'm saying is, no, I don't like the flipping it either.
So there's like very little actual analysis behind this take, but I feel like it's almost kind of narrative too. Like, I feel like Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum's the leader of the team, and I think if the Celtics somehow win, he's going to have to put together a 50-point night. And if you drop 140-50 bomb on the Warriors, you're going to get it regardless of your other nights, kind of.
I cannot argue with that logic. And I for the most part, agree with you. I just, for whatever reason, I'm just stuck on Tatum +175 or Brown +1,000. There's no way that gap should be that big. That's just kind of what I fall on.
If you like the Celtics, both of them is not a bad option, because it's still better than +125.
For sure. That's actually a decent point as well. Going a little heavier on Tatum and then sprinkling on Brown. That would probably be the way to play it. The one like MVP price that I saw that kind of jumped out at me was Klay Thompson at +1,500. You know, this guy shows up in clinch games for the Warriors. He did it in these playoffs. He scored 30 or more and a game in each series. And granted, it was a couple years ago, but his last NBA Finals, 2019, he was averaging 26 points per game on 54% from the field, 59% from three, 88% from the foul line versus the Toronto Raptors. Obviously, like, you know, game six Klay, but, you know, Klay is a proven champion and playoff performer. And if Marcus Smart, who's the defensive player of the year, does a really good job on Steph Curry for a few games, and like Klay Thompson, for whatever reason, is more of the odd man out there with Jordan Poole and Steph Curry, and just doesn't even have to be the odd man out. He could just get hot for the series. I mean, +1,500, that's a juicy price point. That's my main takeaway from that. And I guess what I'm getting at, ultimately, or the bottom line here on my MVP finals MVP analysis, just I think Curry is too expensive and I think Tatum's too expensive, so I would go down a tier if I was shopping for MVP prices in the finals. So I lean towards sprinkling on Klay Thompson. Probably not going to do it at all though. Are you sprinkling on Andrew Wiggins at +3,000?
Yeah, probably a little bit. Like I said, I think it's kind of the same boat as you. It's like Curry's great, but in the finals, he hasn't been great. And at the same time, I think it's almost kind of the flip side of Tatum. I think it's the expectation that if Curry scores 25 a game and Wiggins hits 19 with seven boards and great defense, I think that could go Wiggins' way. So, yeah, I mean, I like Wiggins at +3,000 a little bit, but I can't hate on Thompson either. He has two or three big games. It's the same effect as Tatum. If he drops 30 plus two or three times, I mean, it could be his. He's also looked insanely inconsistent since he's been back in general throughout the whole regular season. So,
right. Some other like more general thoughts that I have about the finals before we get into our best bet segment, which at least my part of it is going to be kind of lengthy because I have a play on game one and a couple player props. So we kind of have a little bit to talk about in that segment. It's not just a quick like, hey, here's the picks, we're out. But a couple final thoughts that I have on these playoffs is, despite how like confident I am in the Warriors here and like in this matchup, the thing that does concern me is just the three-point rate in the league itself. And we've seen just like, you know, we've seen so many games in these playoffs where one team gets hot from three and the other team is ice cold. And that's pretty much the differentiator in the game, right? So like Boston could steal two games just on that alone, right? Like you can win one by Tatum going nuts. Tatum goes for 40 or 50. They steal one there, right? Boston, everyone's hitting threes. Horford hits a couple threes. Smart banks a couple threes. Fucking Pritchard hits a couple threes, right? Boston steals that game. Warriors, they go ice cold one game in Boston, maybe. I don't know, for whatever reason, despite their playoff experience, they get rattled on the road one game. It happens, whatever. They shoot poorly. That's another game. Now we're looking at a toss-up, game seven toss-up. That's kind of how I think about it. That's why, like, I wouldn't play the Warriors minus 1.5 games at plus 155. But I, regardless, I'm still confident in the Warriors as a series price. But does what I just said, does that make any sense? Do you hear my point, or I guess my concern with betting Boston or fading Boston?
Yeah. So I was actually looking at that when you were saying that earlier. So the Warriors took on the Mavericks, slaughtered them, and in part was because I felt like the Mavericks were a little too dependent on the 3-point. I mean, if you look, they were the only team in the NBA playoffs to their 3-point field goal attempt rate was 51%. That's absurd.
Yeah.
Boston was at second place and they were 40 between 46 and 48. I kind of forget.
It was 45.5. I think it rounded up to 46.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's like, and I don't know if I really want to, I don't know if I like the way the basketball is transitioning because there are some things that just make it, I guess less enjoyable. And I kind of like when people take it to the hoop. So, I mean, the Mavericks were live or die by the three. If they were hitting, they were hitting. If they weren't, they weren't. I mean, and at this point, it's like when you have a player like Doncic or a player like Jokic, all you need is 3-point shooters because they're going to get the open looks. If Reggie Bullock hits, all he needs to do all summer to get himself a bag is just go into the gym and learn to hit six wide open threes because that's what they asked him to do. And if he does that, they win. And I mean, I feel like that's the
He is an awesome 3-and-D guy. He just struggled in that series.
Yeah. And I mean, that's all you need. That's all Luka's going to be. I didn't think it was overly enjoyable watching Luka against the Warriors. Just pass wide open three brick. Felt like every possession.
No. And it's not a hot take just to call these playoffs trash overall. I mean, these crazy margin of victories and just like the inconsistent officiating, all the instant replays, like all the complaining to officials, all the flopping, like there's some serious flaws in the NBA game that they need to address in the offseason. I actually thought the first couple months of the NBA regular season was like peak basketball for like the past like almost like 7 or 8 years. When they stopped calling fouls in the first like 2 months of the season, I thought it was the best NBA product we've seen in a long time. They need to get back to that because these games turn into 3-point shootouts and these series turn into 3-point shootouts. And if you're going to live and die by the three, there's no reason that the Celtics can't steal a few games and make this a much closer series than it probably even should be. Because I think the Warriors, based on mostly shot selection, should be out of there in 5 or 6. But I don't know, man. I could see it going 7 and Warriors needing the home crowd to get another finals. I don't think that's ridiculous. And another thought that I had is, granted, the average margin of victory has been pretty crazy, but I think these playoffs and just like basketball in general is more conducive to live betting, especially if you're actually watching it, right? Because like with all this 3-point volatility and this just crazy runs that these teams go on, like why not wait until a team gets down double digits and then take their, you know, take points at a plus number, you know, like absolutely. The Celtics are down like 35-15 in the first quarter. It's like, all right, well, I'll take the Celtics plus 8.5 at plus 150. Like you'll start if you shop around for in-game prices, you'll see stuff like that, right? You'll see you can take a couple shots. I've done that before. I'll put like $25 on the Celtics plus 800 to win, and then $50 on the Celtics plus 8.5 plus 150, and then $100 on the Celtics at plus 11.5, you know, minus 110, stuff like that. So I would recommend, like, if you're actually watching these games and are into live betting or have the means to live bet, that I would probably get down live, because these games, you know, because of the 3-point shot, probably going to get away from certain teams get away from either the Warriors or the Celtics early in the games, and they can fight back with 3-point shooting. So that's kind of what I'm looking to take a stab at here in game or in the series itself. But I'm ready to get on to the final segment, although it's going to be a lengthy one, unless you have any final thoughts for the finals.
No. I have my best bets. I have a few in-game one I like too.
All right, cool. So let's go over to our final segment we call Going to the Window with our best bets.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the Window.
All right, man. So I actually like the Warriors in game one. I'll lay the 3.5 points. And I like under Draymond Green, 8.5 points. And I like over Andrew Wiggins, 1.5 made 3-pointers. Kind of give my analysis on those in a second. But what do you got on your bet slip?
All right, so I have Warriors minus 3.5. Probably just going to piggyback off your analysis. And then I think more of a lean is going to be over the 211.5. And then I also have I started fading Jason Tatum at the end of last series, and it started turning out to be profitable. So I have Jason Tatum under 28.5. It's minus 119 right now, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you've been paying attention to this podcast, every time we agree, I think our winning percentage when we agree has to be like a 10% or worse.
Check that.
Have you noticed that?
No, but it sounds right.
You know, like, all right. At least from the vibe standpoint, you get what I'm saying here, right?
Yeah.
Whenever we walk away from a podcast, and we don't do any pre-production, we come up with our takes and our handicaps independently, and then we connect and we've agreed probably far too often, because I don't think our record is very good when we agree. So all the listeners should probably take Boston plus 3.5 in game one. And then take the Warriors to win game two by whatever points they're favored by. Because like the zigzag effect is a real thing. I feel like I could have made a shit ton of money in the NBA playoffs this year if I just bet the first game correctly and then went the opposite and just kept doing that. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably an easier way to profit than actually handicapping these 3-point shootouts. But I like the Warriors minus 3.5 game one. They're 30-18-2 against the number at home this year. They have a plus 3.1 ATS differential in those games. Those are both the second best marks in the NBA. And I mentioned this before, and I'll just mention it again. Golden State gets better shot selection. They get more layups. Boston, I think, settles for long contested 2-pointers. And they attempt way too many 3-pointers for my liking. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are phenomenal 1-on-1 players, but at least the Warriors have Wiggins and Draymond Green to throw at them. And if Boston's going to play stale offense and just play a lot of ISO ball, I think the Warriors are going to really make it challenging on them, and it's going to help the Warriors. Warriors with a half-court defense that I think can be exploited depending on who they have on the floor, right? Like, they can get no one's a big fan of Steph Curry defensively. I do think it's overly discussed how weak of a defender he is. He's just weak when it gets to the conference finals or the finals, and then Jordan Poole is not a good defender at all. But the most important thing is for me in this handicap is just the Warriors and how much better they play on extended rest. They're 4-0 straight up and against the number with four or more days of rest. They have a plus 16 ATS differential and a plus 21.3 margin of victory in those games. Conversely, Boston's 2-2 straight up, but only 1-3 against the number with four or more days of rest. They have a minus 1.9 ATS differential. So that's why I like the Warriors minus 3.5 game one. Do you have anything to add to that handicap, or why do you like the Warriors?
I think more so my point on the Warriors is 3.5 seems like very little these days in basketball. Like, it feels like every game is over 3.5, and the Warriors haven't lost at home. I mean, they've closed out two series at home. They've started up, or I guess not against the Grizzlies, but they, I mean, I think they're 9-0 at home. I think that's just enough to, I would back a team for at minus 3.5 that's been playing at that level. And they were the second best home team during the regular season. So couple of two. And I mean, look at what the Suns did at home. I mean, they lost to the Mavs, but they were 3-0 in the series at home prior to that. I think we said this in football, but if you just think a team's going to win, the majority of the time they're going to cover the spread, and 3.5 is just not enough for me to now if it were like 7.5, then that's where you start like starting to like really consider Boston. But I think 3.5 in the NBA is just not enough for me to back a team on the road coming off of game 7 two or three days ago.
Yeah. Also, the Warriors, you know, they have like the three best free throw shooters ever. So if those guys go to the line to clinch the game, they're probably going to, right? Whereas, like, yeah, we've seen Jaylen Brown miss free throws down the stretch. Like, Marcus Smart miss free throws down the stretch. Like, it happens for Boston and really any team, not the Warriors.
Yeah. No, completely agree with that.
My first player prop, I'm going under Draymond Green 8.5 points. It's minus 122 on Tipico Sportsbook. He's went under this. His point is 8.5 points. And 8-16 playoff games. He got kind of hot against Dallas. I think he went over 8.5 points or scored double digits in the last three games of that series. But he scored 8 combined points in the two Boston Celtics, Golden State Warriors regular season meetings this year. And Dallas went comically small in the last series, trying to like, I don't know, use or harness the magic they had against the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns against the Warriors. But the Boston Celtics aren't going to go small. They're going to have Horford and Robert Williams on the floor a lot. And I just don't see Draymond Green scoring much against them. He's averaging 5.3 points per game in four games versus Robert Williams. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for Draymond Green to get points. At least not in the interior, and I don't see him shooting a lot of threes. He hit a couple threes against Dallas, but, I mean, his three-point shooting is bad enough where he might not make any if he attempts them, and I don't expect him to attempt a lot, at least early on in this series. He also could get into foul trouble, and he's going to be bogged down defending Boston's wings, so that could remove some of his offensive capabilities and, again, get him in foul trouble. So I'll go under 8.5 for Draymond Green. What else do you got?
So I kind of got a lot to unpack in my mind here, but one of my favorite props in the series is probably going to be fading. It's funny that I was kind of like, oh, Jason Tatum's tied to Boston, because I'm going to fade the mess out of Jason Tatum this whole series. And I think it's because that's going to be how the Warriors, in my opinion, are going to win. I think just what the Warriors did to Luka, coupled with who Steve Kerr is going to leave open, is going to put a lot of pressure on Tatum to score. They're going to double him off pick and rolls, make Derek White beat you. And I think that's the way Steve Kerr is going to look at it too. And I think that's going to force Tatum to get the ball out of his hands, especially with his turnover issues that came earlier on in the postseason.
Okay, cool, man. Well, I'm going to go my second player prop. I'm in game one. I'm going over Wiggins 1.5 made three pointers, which is cheap. It's minus 102. So maybe it's a sucker play, but I think he'll at least get the looks. He got 5.6 three-point attempts per game versus Dallas, and I partially think that's like Golden State rewarding him for tough defense on Luka. He's going to be playing defense on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and if he does a decent job, I feel like the Warriors are going to feed him some looks to like kind of keep him interested, right? Keep him happy. It's simple basketball logic. I'm sure you understand, right? If guy's busting his ass on defense, get him a shot or two, right? So I think he'll get at least the volume to go over, obviously, with Boston's three-point defense, Wiggins' inconsistent shooting. This is by no means a lock, you know, hence the price, minus 102. He's hit two or more threes in his last two visits or two games against the Celtics. He scored 27 points with 5 of 7 three-pointers made in their December 17th meeting. And I also think he's going to be – well, I don't think – he's going to be the odd man out in Golden State's offense, right? I mean, it'll go Curry and maybe Poole, Thompson, or you can switch flip-flop Thompson and Poole. But either way, Wiggins will probably be get the fourth most usage at best in that Golden State offense. So I'll go Wiggins over 1.5 made threes because I think he'll just get quality looks by being on the floor at the same time as Clay, Steph, and Poole, and he's played well against Boston earlier this season. So those are my three best bets. What else do you have on your slip?
Oh, all right. So yeah, so I had my three: Warriors -3.5, Tatum under 28.5, Wiggins +3,000, and then I like the Warriors to win 4-2. It's +500. I would just prefer to. I would almost prefer playing the Warriors 4-2, 4-3. I don't think they complete a gentleman sweep in this type of series. So I would rather take significant plus money odds. I think the 4-3 sweep is the highest sweep. I think it's +350. But I would rather have those than necessarily like a Warriors -160 on the season series price. So I'm probably going to personally play Warriors 4-2.
Oh, shit. So you think they clinch in Boston?
Yeah, I've thought that for a while. What Boston showed me when they were in Boston was not impressive enough for me to think anything of it. I think the Warriors have such an extremely talented core that they know what it takes to win. And, I mean, they kind of did that at home, too. The Grizzlies were never going to win Game 6 and force a Game 7. I think it's going to be a similar vibe. I think they're just not going to get to the point where they're going to lose in a Game 7.
Good shit. All right, peeps. Thanks for listening to the Bet Slipping Podcast. That was your 2022 NBA Finals gambling preview. Me and Nate here are on the Warriors to win this series. We're on them in Game 1. Hopefully we win. Whether you fade or follow us, be sure to show us some love on social media or give us a positive review on Apple Podcasts. Best of luck whether you fade or follow us. Be sure to do your own homework on this stuff. Don't just take our informed opinions on this. But that's all I got. You got anything else to say to these homies?
No, sir. I liked it. I think we gave out some good stuff.
All right. Peace.
This is the Bet Slipping Podcast featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slipping Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.